Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown,
and the paranormal. I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny.
Right on. We are Bigfoot and the Bunny, and my name is Chris Carr.
And I'm Kristen Johnson.
And tonight we have a pretty interesting show. We're going to go a little off topic from the normal paranormal stuff that we talk about and talk a little bit about genetic editing.
Right. It's CRISPR.
CRISPR. The advent of CRISPR, which is not exactly new, but it's kind of, you know, new to our generation. Stands for clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats. And what CRISPR is a tool that people, including you, can use at home in your kitchen.
In your garage.
Manipulate in your garage to manipulate the genetic structure of DNA within organisms. That includes yourself, plants, people, animals, and such. And like a lot of shows that we do, we saw something on TV that intrigued us. And we actually watched a show called Unnatural Selection on Netflix. And Netflix, yes, you can send the money directly to me. giving you props. But it's a very cool show. And we enjoyed that quite a bit. Going through the series, I learned quite a bit.
It was a lot. We thought about a lot of stuff, potential that this has and could have in the future.
Right. One of the main characters on that show, his name is Josiah Zahner, is a pretty younger, like a pretty hip guy. He's got like a lot of piercings in his ears, and he's younger than we are, though he's not 20. Somewhere in between there, and he's a former NASA scientist, and he's the proprietor of the-odin.com and a self-proclaimed biohacker. And he sells kits to get people rolling with this technology for as little as $119.
Right. And you literally can ask him anything if you want to, whatever you want to alter. You just ask him and he'll send you the stuff in the kits for you to alter.
Well, it's not quite like that. I mean, it's not a magic, you know, rub the genie lamp.
Right.
You know, I think the kit that you get just lets you do an experiment to see how it works. But the there are lots of forums and groups that allow you to learn more about this. And I know people have created glowing rats, for example, which I posted a video of on our Facebook, Bigfoot and the Bunny. If you look for Bigfoot and the Bunny on Facebook, you'll see the video of the glowing rats. And what that is a combination of a firefly gene crossed with a rat.
Right. They also have unfeathered chickens. it's another one as well. They're doing that as well. So you don't have to pluck them or anything. It's like genetically modified food, but just humans and mammals, you know. There was one part where on that show, the Unnatural Selection, there was a guy, he had an ear growing from his forearm. And we have yet to see the rest of that, to see why he was doing that. But I thought that was extremely interesting.
It was odd. Like, you can grow flesh, grow an ear off your arm. Whether or not this will become a trend, and people will grow ears off their arm in the future, is yet to be determined. But it can be done.
Right. I mean, they've started on animals. Started with plants, but they're starting on animals, and now they're, you know, of course, doing it on humans. And it's not regular. What is it, regulated? We're not supposed to be doing it on humans, but you can out of your basement and you're, you know.
Well, what I think it is they can't sell it as a drug if you do devise a formula with Josiah or anybody involved in a CRISPR manipulation. You cannot necessarily sell it as a cure or drug, anything like that. It's like a lot of things, for entertainment purposes only.
Sure.
Right. You're not supposed to use it as a cure. It's not regulated by the FDA for now. That's probably something that will change. So if this topic interests you, you know, you might want to get in on it now, because I have a suspicion, a very sneaking suspicion, that it will change in the next year or so, as far as regulation and being able to do this kind of stuff.
Well, what CRISPR is a family of DNA sequences found within genomes, such as bacteria. These sequences are derived from DNA fragments of bacteria, phages that have obviously infected I keep thinking of Kuroki, the prokaryote DNA from similar phages during subsequent infections. It's a technique that allows scientists to make precision edits to DNA, whether bacterial or human, and it's genetic engineering, gene modification. Bear with me here tonight because I have a start of a cold as well.
Yeah, sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Basically, the bacteria is injected with the RNA of the given trait that you want to change. The bacteria is injected into the host. The host then accepts the bacteria. The bacteria goes in and literally cuts and pastes the new RNA within your own DNA, and it continues to do this. Now, the therapy can take years, depending on the kind of problem that you have or what you're trying to change. But surprisingly, it's not that hard to make a rat glow in the dark, or a cat, which has been done, as well as sheep and pigs and some other animals. They've been crossed with fireflies and jellyfish, just putting certain, you know, enzymes in them.
The bioluminescence part.
The body accepts it. What could go wrong with this? Well, you know, we're watching the show, and they're showing a chicken fetus with a third wing.
Right.
Okay, that's not necessarily bad. And I would think, too, like a company like Purdue, this is a real bonus. Now, like, you could possibly create chickens with, let's say, 8 wings, you know, and create more wings with less space.
Right. That goes also with the featherless chickens.
Right. That I was talking about. It takes away the process.
Thank you for listening.
The feathers. Correct. Yeah.
Right.
But how does this tie into cryptids, right? Our show is CRISPR cryptids. Well, okay, we can go a step further. And maybe we have already gone a step further, right? Because you're going to explain that to us, right, Kristen? With your cult?
Right, with the werewolves?
No, not yet. But
oh, you want to do the ancient...
The possibility of
the possibility
creating any kind of creature is actually possible, right? So we could combine creatures, and this does happen. It happens actually in nature without CRISPR.
Right.
As I found out, I haven't done a little bit of research, that gene editing also occurs naturally, even between species. This occurs by a process scientists term horizontal gene transfer. It's a tricky process, especially if the gene is to be filtered down to host offspring, thus changing the species' actual evolution. But it does happen. One example would be a type of wasp called the Braconids that became infected with a particular virus approximately 100 million years ago. The Braconid wasps lay their eggs inside of other insects like caterpillars. The wasps inject particles derived from the 100 million year old virus that compromise the caterpillar's immune system and allow the young of the wasps to literally chew their way out of the caterpillar. On occasion, the caterpillar survives this process and its body becomes a host for the virus. And the virus and its genes change and adapt. In another example, the modern domesticated sweet potato you buy in your local market will always contain the gene of a particular bacteria that commonly causes diseases in plants. It is thought that this bacteria infected a certain sweet potato plant 10,000 years ago, infected it, yet the plant continued to spawn offspring and grow and repopulate. Its genetic code was indelibly changed, and the sweet potatoes that you buy today in your market actually contain this gene.
Well, it's interesting. I never knew that. So we were going into cryptids, correct?
Right, cryptids. Like, you know, can these things be changed? I mean, you were talking about Bigfoot and, you know, the idea of, I don't know where this sounds so familiar, but a Russian werewolf.
I know.
I don't know if it's comic books or some kind of propaganda I read growing up, but the idea of a Russian werewolf seems, I don't know, seems realistic to me. It's nefarious and if possible.
So who's to say that the governments don't get a hold of this, which I'm quite sure they already have, and they don't make, like, armies and armies of these werewolves and go and obliterate countries? Not to scare anybody, but think about that. That's
from
what our first thought was.
Well, what would a town do? Say some small town, and we'll go to, like, Stephen King land. We'll say some small town in Maine.
Like Derry.
Derry. There was a werewolf placed in this town, just dropped off, kicked out the door. A cross between man, wolf, a thirst for blood. I mean, these are all genes and genetic traits. Being bloodthirsty is an actual trait that can be replicated and taken from one creature and put into another. The idea of, you know, a problem with sunlight, a vampire, a literal vampire could be created with CRISPR.
Absolutely. We went as far as the chupacabra.
Right, which wasn't maybe as much of a stretch as the vampire, but the vampire, as it is known classically, in urban legend and modern legend, could be created with CRISPR.
Right. So we started getting into the government thing and we started thinking about super soldiers. And we looked it up and there is a site that says that they are working on super soldiers and they've been. And some of the examples that they're giving to these soldiers are freedom of sleep by telepathy by editing their DNA, synthetic blood, 7-foot leaps and 25 mile per hour spring. And that's part of the super soldiers. So as you're talking about, the Russian werewolves, we've already got super soldiers going on being created by the government.
Possibly. And we don't know about other governments. I mean, nobody's really going to like take the lid off of this unless we can get in there and see the data. But if we can do this stuff with a $119 kit via mail order, we can change the genetic code of a human being. What do you think our government is doing? What do you think China is doing? Who's way ahead of the race, guys? You know, wake up. Yep. We're all like, you know, we're not nearly even close to first place. I don't know what propaganda you're reading, but we're not even close. dig a little deeper, guys. Get beyond Fox News. Russia, way ahead. You know, yeah, it's a joke. We're just basically a joke. Education, we're like 29th at this point. You know, you really need to start thinking, people. Change the channel if it's telling you something else. We're losing this race. You know, Iran is the leader in the world in stem cell technology. And you guys thought they were living in caves, like little hats, little towels on their head and stuff, right? Yeah, no, you're not paying attention. Some of the NASA scientists, go with science. You get a little further, guys. Get a little further. Sorry, don't mean to pee on anyone else's show, but yeah, truth hurts a little. CRISPR, we can create any kind of cryptid we want, any kind of unexplainable creature. However, what about the unexplainable creatures that exist now? Could it possibly have been created by a civilization that existed before ours? Or could it have been a combination of that and maybe what I was explaining before with the horizontal gene transfer, that this happens in nature? Because if something's genes get inside you, and they get in your bloodstream, there is a chance that your body will absorb it and do the cutting and pasting for you. And you don't need CRISPR at all. As I explained with the wasp and the sweet potato. Does this explain Bigfoot? Does this explain the Mothman?
I have a little tidbit about Bigfoot. In Canada, a member of the Canadian Mounted Police petitioned the Canadian Parliament to add Bigfoot to the country's Species of At-Risk Act, alongside the whooping crane and the blue whale. The reason being that no one sees Bigfoot is because he's endangered. He's an endangered creature, the man said, and not shy like many believe. I've got another one too, made me crack up. The Skamania County Board of Commissions in Washington State passed an ordinance in 1969 that set a $10,000 fine and 5 years in prison for anyone who killed a Bigfoot in the county.
Wow.
I thought that was really funny. There you go.
And genetic manipulation has actually been banned by the Board of Olympics, right? In the Olympic Games?
That's right. Gene doping, you said.
They call it gene doping.
Now it's gene doping.
Right? Everybody talks about blood doping, but gene doping has already been banned. So this is a very real thing.
Right.
Think about every zombie movie you've ever seen. I mean, this possibility is like right there. And even though our government, our CDC, has a kind of, you know, joke version of what to do
in the zombie
in the zombie apocalypse, you have to wonder if it really is a joke.
I don't think it's the joke.
I mean, these things are possible. To genetically alter a human to, you know, want to eat flesh is not impossible. To make them mindless, not impossible. All the traits are genetic qualities, and they can all be broken down and transferred and passed through to offspring.
Well, if you want to go back to ancient times, genetically modified. The ancient Sumerians worshipped the Anunnaki, or sky gods.
Correct.
And the Anunnaki were said to have the have genetically engineered the human race into a slave species to mine gold for them. And supposedly this attributes to the missing link of us. There's many people who have said that.
They do. They think there's like a jump in evolution, right? They think, you know, we jump from Homo erectus to modern man via these aliens.
Right.
That may have come down. Eric von Däniken and Zachariah Sitchin wrote extensively about it. Sitchin supposedly translated the ancient Sumerian texts, the cuneiforms, yes, to say, and at least in his opinion, that the Anunnaki were aliens that came here.
Right.
They started, you know, civilization and brought modern man from this hunter-gatherer tribe that was just running around kind of willy-nilly into Homo sapiens from Homo erectus via the transfer of certain genes, right? And I think he thought it was done in vitro. But you wonder, with like technologies like CRISPR, could it have just been something that was injected in people, you know, to change their DNA structure? You know, maybe he read that wrong, translated things wrong. It's possible. I mean, it's highly criticized on his translations, but that is the gist of them.
Also, in Mesoamerica, the Mesoamerican god Quetzalcoatl, it's half bird and half snake. Many ancient gods are like that. That's when you start getting on like the demigods and things, like be Hercules.
Well, that's where we get to like the half,
so the god.
Half breeds, I guess we would say, right?
Right. That's the Nephilim.
The Nephilim.
Where that starts off. We're giants. The sons of God mingling with the daughters of Adam, the demigods, like superhumans, giants like Goliath. There's been a lot of giants and redheaded giants as well throughout ancient history and history. We have the redheaded giants from Lovelock Cave in Churchill, Nevada, in the Southwest in the USA. According to the Peyote, a tribe settled the region thousands of years ago. Peyote.
Let me stop you there. I'm pretty sure you said peyote.
Peyote. My nose is stuffed up. Come on. Peyote.
Yeah, in the
years ago, a tribe of red-headed giants called the Sichuca. You're gonna goof on me again?
Nope, just trying to fill the dead air. You froze for a second.
I'm sorry. These particular red-headed giants were known to be cannibals. They waged war against the Paiotes, spreading terror and devastation. There are accounts in almost every culture of these giants from thousands of years ago. Sumerians, of course, the Celtics. I was reading our basketball team here. Greeks, the Hindus, Norse definitely had giants. The Romans, just to name a few. It's almost in every culture and in every text.
So pretty much,
excuse me. They all had giants.
Pretty much every culture there were giants existing.
Right.
In early times, right? Like we're talking BC.
Right.
Thousands
Absolutely.
Of years ago.
Yes.
There seemed to be giants, but they all seem to disappear. Now, supposedly, Smithsonian has some of the skeletons of some of these giants. Is that right?
Yes, it's government run. Never trust it. You're welcome. We won't be getting that as a sponsor. Yeah, they hide a lot of things, and they do have the skeleton, supposedly.
Supposedly.
The giant.
How tall were these giants?
Anywhere from 9 feet, 12 feet, to even taller. They've been, so far that I've researched, they could be up to 18 feet tall. So,
wow.
These particular red-headed giants were 12 to 14 feet.
I can't imagine why they died off. I mean, I would have thought they were superior. Maybe it was a numbers game. Like, why were they killed off? And
I don't know the
culture.
The tribes were very relentless because they were cannibals, supposedly. This type of giant here with the peyotes, they had to kill them off because they were cannibals and they were taking all their women and them and, you know, the men and the children, and they were eating them. They're always waging war on them just so they can get them. And I know that's why those probably, but who knows? I think they went underground. You know me.
Right. Supposedly there's all kinds of space from caves underground.
Right.
That could lead to civilizations. And it's also possible that ancient civilizations came before for us that maybe spawned some creatures that we call cryptids that were natural in their environment. Maybe Bigfoot.
Right. That's where I was going with Bigfoot, with the ancients. Maybe there was something that that was created and it ended up being Bigfoot or the elusive Bigfoot, and maybe that's what's going on with.
And like time spans, right? If we go back 11, 12,000 years, we hit the Younger Dryas period.
Right.
Right. Well documented by people like Graham Hancock and such.
Right.
And,
Randall Carlson.
Randall Carlson. And, you know, that wiped everything out, just, you know, obliterated it. And if we go back before that, we see even longer periods of time where, you know, humanity could have risen, possibly done other things, maybe gone beyond being a Bigfoot, you know, possibly created other things. We, you know, even like metals would not have survived all the cataclysmic events that transpired in those times, and would hit those periods of like 12,000 years with 24,000 years bigger. You know, greater events. I mean, our span of life on Earth is just this minute little bit.
It's minuscule.
Earth has existed for a very long time. Our
billions of years
existed. It's not like everything was created and, wow, here's people, you know.
Exactly.
You know, this was done a long, 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 long time ago. And it's very, very possible that some of the ancient creatures that we see and we call cryptids, the Bigfoot in the woods, the interdimensional, sometimes called, which is a whole nother aspect of Bigfoot, could have actually existed. Like, maybe he did survive. I don't know.
That's just like Nessie and Champ and all the plesiosauruses. They're saying that they survived.
Sure.
Who's to say they didn't?
And we combine the idea of gene editing. I mean, we can do it easily with CRISPR, but as I explained earlier, it can happen naturally. It can happen from a wasp stinging you and injecting the virus at the same time, the bacteria, the very germ that affects your genome and changes you completely and affects your offspring. And this trait gets inherited. But well, perhaps it's inherited on a small scale. I mean, nobody knows.
No, nobody knows this yet. And they were doing it at, I didn't write it down or anything, but they were doing it in Martha's Vineyard, I believe, for, was it mice and ticks? To get rid of the ticks?
They were trying to get rid of the Lyme ticks.
Yeah, the Lyme ticks. So what they do is they would genetically modify the mice to have that, they should do it for triple E as well, but to have, immune to the Lyme disease.
The Lyme ticks. Sorry, it would kill the Lyme ticks.
Right, and then they would breed, and as their, spawn, their children would be born with it and everything, and their children would be born with it, and so they'd all have that gene that was manipulated. And so that the Lyme ticks would end up dying off, the deer ticks that carry the Lyme.
Right.
So as you're saying, their children, if you're going to manipulate somebody, what is their children going to be like? And then down the road, their children and their children, are they going to be, be glowing, whatever, grandpa or grandma did, or have an ear growing. I don't know. Are they going to continue with that gene? Do you know what I mean?
I think it really depends on what they change, right?
Right. That's what I mean. Are they going to be born with that change as well? The kids. Their kids, their children.
Right. Well, they will be born with it, yes.
It's very freaky. And
so, speaking of being born, I'm going to go a little off topic here and go to designer babies. Because designer babies is a thing that comes with CRISPR, right? Right, Chris?
Public is very mad at this.
I'll be right back. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you talk a little bit about designer babies. I have to step away for a moment.
Hi. So the public's really mad at this doctor. So in the Wall Street Journal, an article describes a number of examples of side effects using CRISPR. This man, his last name is Hugh, H-E, and he took cells of embryo cells, and he genetically modified them, and he put them into a woman, and she gave birth to them. And what he did to manipulate them was he manipulated their HIV gene, their AIDS gene, so they wouldn't have it. Not that everybody has the gene, but how is that? Because I didn't look this up. You researched this. So he manipulated them.
Sorry, you're talking to me?
Not to have the HIV virus. The Hugh. Designer babies, Lulu and Anna.
Designer babies, yep. Right. They designed them.
Manipulating them, they wouldn't develop HIV.
Not be able to get the HIV virus, yes.
Right.
They would resist.
HIV resistant. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Right. And he kind of did this kind of an outlaw.
And yeah.
There, you know, nobody had done this before. Nobody. People have manipulated embryos of humans publicly. And I'm going to say publicly because we don't know what governments do behind the scenes. Like the U.S., like China, like Russia.
Right.
But just publicly in China, he changed the genome of the babies to be resistant to HIV.
Right. That's correct.
Yep.
And come to find out one of the babies that were, when they were born twins, Lulu and Nana, I believe you pronounce it.
Lulu and Nana.
Right. And one of the girls doesn't even have the, isn't even genetically modified. It didn't work in, on her.
Yeah, it only kind of like half worked.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, that doesn't mean they're encountering HIV. She may be more resistant. There's no way to prove it.
Right. That's the thing. Why the FDA is all mad. Because there's no way to prove all these things.
Well, governments are mad because, not the FDA particularly, they're mad because we manipulated humans. We manipulated human embryos. That's why they're mad. Or they did, I guess, this particular scientist in China. And that's kind of like a no-no. You know, nobody's like really gone that far yet. But it is inevitable that we're going to cross these lines.
Absolutely.
We're going to manipulate embryos to have blue eyes, to have blonde hair if we want that, or brown hair, or black eyes, whatever it is we want.
I think that's horrible. I think that's horrible. You know, this is the gift of life. It's create your own creation from you and your partner. And I just think, I'm sorry, but that's in my opinion. I don't think you should want something like that. Just be happy with what you get. I can see if there's somebody who has like Tay-Sachs disease, very rare disease or something, that they can manipulate the gene in that. That's all I can see, but not like a designer baby.
Obviously, we want to change the idea of like having a diseased baby and having a non-diseased baby.
That's what I'm saying. But blue eyes.
Then we get into the idea of designer babies. And now, why can't a person say, I want my baby to have blue eyes or brown eyes or green eyes or whatever it is? Why is that immoral?
I just think it's not it's unnatural to me to. In my opinion, I just think it's unnatural. You go in, you say, oh, you know, my kid's not going to have blue eyes. My kid's going to have, you know, purple eyes. I don't know. Brown eyes. Whatever. It's like.
I don't know. If you're listening to this and you have an opinion, you can call in at 504-273-7379. That's 504-273-7379. And debate it with us.
Yeah, because it's like, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to go here, but that's like Hitler wanting blonde hair, blue-eyed race. You know what I mean?
Well, put it this way. If you go to buy a pet, you want to have a dog, right? You go to the puppy store, wherever that is. Pet stores are few and far between anymore. And you pick out the particular puppy you want. Why is that different? All the breeds are different. Do I want a German Shepherd? Do I want a, you know, Shih Tzu? Do I want a Chihuahua? Do I want some other? Do I want a mutt? Do I want to go to the pound and get a mutt?
Because I didn't have my puppy genetically altered to make it look like the way I wanted it to.
But you still make a choice.
Doesn't matter. I'll get a mixed breed. I don't need to get, like, a full breed or anything.
Well, that's true. Maybe I don't want a mixed breed. Maybe I want a Dalmatian with the spots, and I want it to be purebred from, you know, wherever it comes from or whatever.
Right.
Maybe I'm into that. Maybe I want to show it at dog shows. Isn't that my choice, or do you make that choice?
No, that's true, but it's not genetically altered is what I'm saying. We didn't genetically pick it.
But every mutt that you would pick is genetically altered.
not a good example.
Actually, Chris. Every dog is genetically altered because they're all domesticated.
Right, from mixed breeding. I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
They're not wolves.
No, but I do want one of those.
So where does the line get drawn? It's a tough thing to say, right? I understand what you're saying. Obviously, I'm playing devil's advocate to what you're saying.
But right.
Of course. I'm just feeding this into the argument. But we all make these choices every day.
Right.
So what is the next step? We evolve as humans. We keep changing things. You know, and it happens anyways naturally. As I explained with the wasps earlier, this stuff occurs in nature and probably has happened to humans in ways that we don't even know yet.
Right. So riddle me this. So we were talking about, you know, ancient cultures and maybe they did it. What about the Mothman? How do you think he developed being a cryptid?
If he exists.
Wasp.
Could he be part wasp? Well, apparently, you know, I posted that video of the glowing red rat.
Right.
You know, on our Facebook, which you can find at Facebook. And if you look for Bigfoot and a Bunny, you can also find us at Dark Horse Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Plug, plug, plug. But yeah, if you look at that video, it's pretty interesting because it's basically a rat combined with a gene from a firefly to glow. And instead of the rat having like some kind of weird sack-like thing hanging and dragging from its tail, the whole rat glows red, right? Which is just kind of amazing.
Right. And
this was done, basically, from fans of the $119 CRISPR kit. You know, because there is a big audience for it, a big support system. And you can go further than what comes with the kit if you're interested.
That's what I was saying earlier in the show. If you're interested, you tell them what you want to do, and he'll try to put it in there for you.
Right. It's not really there to grow a new kidney. It's more like, what can you do and you learn? This stuff does exist, though. There was a girl that was cured from leukemia, completely cured via CRISPR.
That I would do.
And as we say in Boston, it's called CRISPR. Yeah.
It's that Massachusetts accent. Oh, no, that was my mom. Sorry.
I said CRISPR. Yeah, CRISPR. CRISPR. They taught the genes in her body to fight the cancer. They had tried everything else. And it is like a last resort. It doesn't work for everybody yet. But this is the technology that is going to really heal the human race. And these people like Josiah Zahner that are out there pushing it for $119 at people are like heroes, in my opinion. They are out there trying to make it available to the public, make awareness to the public, make it available to the public, let you, if you want to pursue it enough, find out how to make the kit work for you and your particular ailment. You know, that's amazing. Biohacking is amazing, and I equate it very much to computer hacking in the 1980s, which we both lived through, which was this kind of underground movement, you know, and people like hacking computers and the movie War Games and that kind of thing. It actually got me interested in computers, and that's why I'm in IT today. You know, it was basically because of that movement. So, you know, cheer to them. This is the next thing, biohacking.
Biohacking, my God. Well, there are some side effects that have been documented using CRISPR to modify livestock.
It's not perfected.
Favorable traits. In each example, the editing worked, but it also produced unintended side effects, like rabbits and pigs modified to grow leaner. It also grew an enlarged tongue. An extra vertebrae. goats modified to grow longer cashmere wool grew too large in the womb for natural births, and cattle that scientists modified to sport lighter coats died as calves. So, and just imagine the other side effects there is to this.
Right. Now, so it's a chance it'll go wrong, and it'll affect other genes as well, right?
Right. That's what I said I was worried about. Remember, we were talking about this. I said, what else could this affect, again, on your offspring? That was the word I was looking for earlier. What else can affect in yourself and then maybe in your offspring and their offspring? You don't know what kind of side effects you're going to have. I mean, I can, yeah, let's cure the leukemia. Let's cure the Tay-Sachs. Let's cure all these bad diseases. But, you know, for picking.
Well, that's a pretty good side effect. But, you know, just trying to do this to maybe change your eye color or whatever. But yeah. It might alter other things. I think that's kind of what you're saying. Kind of? Right.
Kind of?
I don't know. I'm not too sure, Chris.
Oh, please.
You know, might change other things. So right. We know the bacteria can come in and, like, cut, copy, replace certain bits of DNA with the RNA that it's injected in. But I think what you're saying is some of the side effects is like it can sometimes go to like other bits of DNA
and
start manipulating them. Exactly. And then you don't know what's going to happen. It may have a harmful effect. It may not. We don't know.
Right.
It just depends on a person and how they take it through human biology. But we're not really sure. You know, it's a huge advancement to have a tool like CRISPR to go in and change things. And it does give us the ability to actually create the cryptids that we're all trying to find. However, it's not a perfect science. It's available for $119. If you're really, really interested, you can get into this. It's right there in front of you, as we saw in that show on Natural Selection.
Well, they have DNA banks as well, you know. I know Russia has a DNA data bank of every living thing on Earth and extinct as well. And we did see something about the Siberian unicorn. I thought that thing was cool.
Siberian unicorn. That thing
they wanted to bring
that. Yes, it was.
26,000 years ago, and they wanted to bring that back.
Imagine
they want to bring
a rhinoceros with like rhinoceros. This giant friggin' horn coming off its head. Big spiky horn. That obviously could kill anything in its path.
Right. They want to bring back the ground sloth, which is only, I can say only because, you know, it's not millions of years old, but it's 8,000 years ago it went extinct. They want to
like
bring back the
fall or something, right?
Listen, they want to bring back the saber-toothed cat that went extinct 11,000 years ago. Why? I don't understand this. This thing's going to kill us all. It's like, you know, government probably already has it. But the Irish elk, and I love that one because it reminds me of the Hobbit.
Yep. A huge elk. You know, these things are.
The Neanderthal.
Jurassic Park is only, two steps away, right? I mean, we've come this far. Think about this in, like, the time, at least if you're in our age bracket, you're in middle school or high school or something. You know, it was complete science fiction. But here we are today in 2019 going on to 2020 doing this stuff, doing it. If we have enough DNA from a saber-toothed cat, we can bring the goddamn thing back. We actually can. It's not a movie. It's real.
Why don't you think cute and fuzzy back? They want to bring back the Neanderthal. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they want to know how its brain works. Okay.
What about the Denisovans?
Denisovans, yes.
Denisovans. Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far, maybe they will bring them back. So far, it's the Neanderthals.
Wide-faced. Then the Neanderthals and
it makes me think because of the elongated skulls that we find in Peru. I wonder if that had anything to do with gene splicing, you know, from back then.
Was it just the wrapping of the rope around the skull from time of birth?
Some of them don't have suture marks, so I don't know.
We don't know.
That could have been it. That could have been gene splicing. We could have had tons of races, you know, here. You don't know. I don't know, but I just, the saber tooth that gets me. Why?
Do you think we'll ever have a Jurassic Park?
Yes, I do.
Or bring these things back. Seriously, if they're this close now, how would they be in 20 years, 40 years? Our grandchildren will be visiting Jurassic Park, right?
Yes. If they're trying to bring back those things, short face bear, ground sloth, I believe definitely we're going to have some kind of a Jurassic Park. I mean, look, they want to bring back the unicorn. The Siberian unicorn. You like that thing.
Right? That thing was awesome. At least the depictions of it were. Yeah.
That's right up there with our werewolves. You just, a country, a government goes, you know, and just
think about it. Just, you know, stop and think about what would happen to a little town in the Midwest if a werewolf, as we imagine it, were created by a foreign government. Something that would just like come out at night and start killing
super
people.
Super soldier werewolf. Yeah.
They would have a hard time dealing with it, right? And it would kill a lot of people before people figured out, oh my God, it's a werewolf and we have to kill it a certain way or do anything with it. They would have a hell of a time with it.
Right.
It would be so destructive. Let alone every zombie movie ever made.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, hey, I'm Mike. My son plays so many zombie things. I'm going to hide behind him. He knows how to kill them.
These things are so close. They're so close to reality. Yet we all pretend they aren't. And we just go on and we want the latest fashion and glamour and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Instagram.
You really,
you know, it's all bull crap because really stuff could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow.
You guys might want to research this, our listeners and our viewers. Research some of this so you're going to see for yourself. Watch that Unnatural Selection on Netflix.
So fragile.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the possibilities are endless. They really are.
So fragile.
And please. Yeah, and someday in the near future.
If we can make rats glow in the dark, you know.
Hey.
They can make.
Listen, someday in the near future.
This is ridiculous. Science fiction is totally here right now.
Right, we made
everything
like a cross.
Growing up is wrong.
I said sometime in the near future, we may look like a cross between the Terminator and the Lord of the Rings. That's what our Earth is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that science fiction is real. It's like, that's what happens.
So. Right. All right. Well.
All right. We're there.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, Seraphine. Laura, will be on after us.
At gmail.com, please, and let us know your thoughts.
All right. Bigfootandabunny@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Bigfoot and a Bunny. Also look for Dark Horse Paranormal. We do a podcast that's a little bit more orchestrated than our live show. And you can check that out, Dark Horse Paranormal.
We're
also on those same outlets and available wherever podcasts are available.
Right. All right, guys. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Have a great night.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
We'd like to thank Joe Montaldo for his engineering and support.
Thank you, Joe.
Be sure to look for us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.
You can also find us at Dark Horse Paranormal and Purple Raven Paranormal by searching those very same outlets. You can email us at bigfootandthebunny@gmail.com. Thank you.
Catch you later.
Bye.
I don't know if we're in the air or not. Kitty.
Do this again. I'm just going to be quiet.
Come here, kitty.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib. It's just what I wanted.
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just $1. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just $1. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.